across the galaxy. This is where conspiracy on the wild side meets the perspective of a lifetime. This is the Free Zone with your host, Freeman.
Hello and welcome to the Free Zone. Well, here we are. I've completely lost all track of time. I have no idea how many days, months, weeks we've been in lockdown. Really just kind of moving into that ether realm, and I feel like everyone is coming with me, and it's amazing. I really do see this as an opportunity. It really is. I mean, for some reason, the New World Order decided to tip their hand and show everyone the draconian, horrific world that we could be moving into. And this is a great opportunity for us to awaken everyone to the true potential of this New World Order and to realize that we're moving into a prison planet. It seemed, you know, at this point, completely obvious. So I thought we could do no better than to bring on Greg Rees. Greg is now working with the one that will not be named over at the website that can't be mentioned. Yes, I mean Alex Jones at InfoWars. Greg Rees has done a great job coming up in there and is given free license to open and open the doors to every aspect of that he wants to look into. And Greg and I go way back. You guys might remember us in Greg's chemtrail video that we did, the music video of epic proportions, a video I still am in awe of because I have no idea how he managed to pull that off. if you haven't seen it, it's called Chemtrails, They Live, We Sleep. It's there on my YouTube channel and it's in my Twitter feed if you guys want to check it out. And so Greg and I go way back to the days. And at this moment, as the universe is turning to severe pro, severe neg, I think Greg and I will do a great job starting to suss this situation out and trying to see what actually is going on, because we have been at this a very long time. So please welcome to the Free Zone, Greg Rees. Hey, Greg.
Hey, what's up, Freeman?
Doing all right. Doing all right. This is what has shocked me, Greg, is the showing of the hand. So when this whole thing began, I at first was like, okay, they're gonna pull off their Agenda 21 setup. They're gonna, you know, I 12 years ago I had said that they're gonna use a plague. It would seem the obvious tactic to get a prison planet going. So, you know, it just seemed obvious. It's amazing. 12 years ago, I was talking about the incoming asteroids and a current plague that was happening at that time and talking about the real ID and how that was going to come into fruition. And, you know, 12 years ago. Now, 17 years ago, there was an episode of The Dead Zone, a TV show based off Stephen King novel, and episode 14 of season 2 from 2003 is plague. And it turns out this town gets coronavirus. They go into a lockdown. The lead character of The Dead Zone gets his psychic transmission by injecting the virus into him and discovers that the solution is chloroquine. 17 years ago. So anytime somebody's saying to me, oh, we never thought this possible. No, we couldn't imagine this happening. You know, I've heard Trump say that, like, oh, we never saw this coming. But obviously we did. And so the situation of how this thing played out, let me just lay out for you what I saw. And then we'll just pick it up from there. So the potential timeline. Okay. Potential timeline for this COVID coronavirus. Now, because we're in the World Wide Web, we get a completely different view of reality than all of the other people on the planet who are simply watching the news. And so I saw an insider who was working tracking CDC, and he had noted that there was a viral containment issue at the Fort Detrick, Maryland, Level 4 biological lab. and that the CDC had come in and said, hey, you guys have containment issues. We're going to shut you down if you don't get this fixed. Then around October, CDC reportedly returned and shut down the Fort Detrick for a containment issue. Now, Fort Detrick, this could bring us to Obama funding all of this and the who and why. But what occurred is at that moment in October last year, 2019, the potential of this coronavirus escaping from the Fort Detrick biological lab was covered up, it appears, by this strange vaping illness that they had suddenly, oh my God, people are dying of pneumonia from vaping. And I remember because I would go to the tobacco store that they were freaking out because they were going to yank all the vape off the shelves. And this was their whole vaping business and all these businesses going. And it happened right there in Virginia, around Maryland, everywhere. It spread from there and was covered up as this supposed vaping illness that was causing pneumonia. And then the flu season began, so it got just mingled up in that. So around that time, October again, then we have event 201 with the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation saying, hey, there's going to be a coronavirus, and here's how we'll solve it, right? They laid it all out in event 201 in October. And then everything moved over to the Wuhan military games, and suddenly we get this eruption out of Wuhan. And of course, I think it was 1981 that Dean Koontz wrote the book with the Wuhan 400 virus. So again, well, I couldn't have imagined anything like this happening. But so that was kind of where I started to believe that we were in the midst of a biological warfare attack. And so, you know, like anyone that normal and all of us that are smart, we don the mask, we don the gloves, we, you know, made sure. But then the numbers didn't work. The numbers just didn't. The reaction was so far from the actual problem that the death rates were lower than the flu, way lower than abortions, way lower than anything that we would, you know, shut down the economy of the entire world for. So I started looking outside the planet. I'm like, wait a minute, because they're now setting up triage hospitals and they're putting all of these trauma doctors, not ER doctors, not COVID doctors, but trauma doctors into these hospitals and setting them up all over. They put the mercy and the comfort on either side of the nation. They put up all this. They sent General O'Shaughnessy into the deep underground in Cheyenne Mountain. The continuity of government, all of this. 50 states get state of emergency declared. And I'm like, wait a minute. This now sounds more like an asteroid threat. So I go and I look. Sure enough, asteroid 1998 OR2 is heading towards planet Earth and could destroy all life at 6 a.m. on April 28th or 29th. And so I'm like, oh my God, okay, that makes more sense to what we're seeing here. But it turns out there wasn't just this one asteroid. There was this whole horde of asteroids coming, near-Earth objects, just like a swarm of murder hornets coming swarming in on planet Earth at this moment. It's never happened. You can scroll back in the JPL 500 years. This has never happened. So there was a major asteroid threat, and it continues. So a lot of what I saw then, I'm like, okay, so maybe there isn't really a virus and they're actually locking us all down for this asteroid threat. But then the asteroids passed, and sure enough, one snuck by, one that they had no idea of, one that wasn't numbered, named, or anything. It's called JJ 2020 now. It came closer to an extinction level event than any other asteroid in a billion years, and they didn't see it coming. But it nearly missed us. It came into synchronous orbit. They came into, you know, well below our satellites and everything. And so all of that was actually happening. And as soon as the major horde of asteroids passed, then they started to say, okay, we can start to let things up. And they started to break down a bunch of the triage hospital that they had set up, even though they're still building them. So So that's how strange everything got, to the point where I was like, okay, the reaction does not fit the problem. So where is the actual problem? So now that the asteroids have left, now I'm like, oh, okay. Well, the majority of them, you know, the big fear has passed, which just happened to happen the day before the lockdown was supposed to end, right? From April 26th to the 29th was the potential of the strikes. So, you know, then they're like, okay, we'll let you go in May. So now I'm like, wait a minute. Okay, if that's not it, now I'm up to Trump. Now I'm like, okay, maybe Trump was the causing factor that they had to show their hand, that they said New World Order suddenly is like, oh God, Trump's going to totally destroy everything we've been planning for 40 years and we've got to do it now. And this is where I'm at now. And now I'm a huge Trump supporter and I'm seeing all of his counter punches and I'm seeing the way that he's just like, oh my God, such a warrior. And I didn't expect any of these thoughts at all throughout this whole scenario. But I'm totally now a Trumpite going, oh my God, maybe this all happened because they were so frightened of Trump destroying their globalism. So you want to tell us a little bit of your walking through this Wuhan thing? That's where I'm at now.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's exactly where I'm at too. I've been waiting for this since 2004. I've been waiting for the end game. And before Trump got elected, I would say somewhere in the second half of Obama's reign, I gave up hope and started focusing on spirituality, started focusing on basically, becoming Zen and at peace with living in a tyrannical world, because I just didn't see any way out of it. I mean, I'm not proud to say that, but it was actually good for me because I did, find peace with it. And then shortly after that, Trump got elected. I didn't vote for Trump because I was convinced that the election process is completely rigged. So I haven't voted since I was like 18. And when he got, and I was certain he would never win, because I mean, he was talking about 9/11 being an inside job, stuff like that. And I was like, wow, that would be awesome to have Trump as president, but it's never going to happen. And when he got elected, it kind of did something to me. At first, I was like, what's going on? I kind of assumed he must be a player in the game. But, and then in 2017, when I started seeing the Marines bombing the poppy fields in a very dramatic fashion that didn't get any news coverage, that is what activated me to Trump. So it was probably September of 2017. I was at a yoga ashram. And after I saw the Marines bombing the poppy fields, a light went off in my head and I said, all right, game on. We're in a fight now. There's a hope. There's hope. So that's what brought me to InfoWars. And, what I've seen is all of Trump's enemies are my enemies, basically. All the globalists hate him. And I would agree with you. I would say that what we're seeing with COVID has been planned for years. In my research, it even appears as if it goes almost all the way back to germ theory in itself, that they've been planning this. I would even say that if you look at history and the Bible and stuff like that, that the quote-unquote virus or the plague has been the main weapon of depopulation or the main excuse. I don't even think it's as real as people say it is, but it's a great excuse because then in the history books, after the millions of people die, they can write it in the history books as it was a terrible tragedy and it was this virus that killed everyone and so on and so forth. And so, yeah, what I see now is, it seems when you look at what's happening behind the scenes in the past 3 years, it's been some of the most incredible activity against the globalist plot that I've ever seen. And so, yeah, I think they rolled it out sooner. The whole plan right now, I think, is they're just rolling all their cards out before the 2020 election so that they can put things back in place the way they had them. And that's why it's fumbling a little bit, although who knows where it's going, because if it wasn't for Trump, they probably would have taken their time. I would imagine this would have happened somewhere near the end of Hillary's second term. That would have given Hillary plenty of time to to do all sorts, you know, to roll out all sorts of other things. But yeah, I mean, I'm a little, I still support Trump, but what I don't understand about Trump right now is he seems to be going along with the vaccination thing. There's a new article that just came out, Department of Defense release awards $138 million contract enabling pre-filled syringes for future COVID vaccine. And they're saying that that amount of money is going to have, what is it, 100 million pre-filled syringes, 500 million pre-filled syringes by 2021. So, I mean, you know, everyone's, I mean, yeah, he, what we've seen in the past 3 years is a lot of strategy. We've seen a lot of him allowing people to, you know, make their own rope and hang themselves. And it's been very effective. Possibly that's what's been going on with having Bill Gates and the Fauci team out in front running this whole thing, is so that they can take the blame for it. I mean, who knows? But what I know for certain is that the vaccine is not good. I really look forward to seeing more talk against the vaccines and against the Bill Gates agenda coming from the Trump administration. I'm not exactly sure why things can't be just spoken bluntly. I mean, I guess part of the argument is that we're dealing with a lot of brainwashed people, and so things have to be done in a certain way that people can see it for themselves instead of, you know, because I guess I can, amazed. I guess I can see.
Okay.
Well, one more thought. I mean, the one thing I can see is that the media has done a great job of brainwashing everyone that Trump is going to be Hitler and he's going to like become a totalitarian. And so they may have done that knowing that if he did try to become more forthright and about things instead of being politically correct, that, you know, for example, if he just started arresting the media, which I think he should do, and locking them up, then the brainwashed people could be triggered and be like, oh my God, he is like Hitler, you know. So maybe it is about waking people up in a way. I don't know, but we're at a very strange time right now, and it's just crazy to see how this is actually being rolled out and people are falling for it.
Yeah, it's definitely a sovereignty test.
Absolutely.
Now, Cuomo, he came out and said, hey, if you all just went back to work, there's nothing we could do. Trump, every time somebody gets sick at the White House, he's always like, ah, they'll be fine.
Yeah.
It's a matter of us, right? Like, we have to show our true humanity in order to get out of this. And yet, so far, they've been calling these guidelines and suggestions, and yet you'll get arrested for not following a suggestion. But then, like that lady who had the salon, she opened and did everything she could to make it feel like she was, covering all her bases. They arrested her, but then had to release her. The governor releases her. And another one that was a police officer who came forward in a video saying, I'm not supporting any of these draconian measures. None of my officers will enforce this type of thing. And he was immediately fired. Well, both of them have made nearly $500,000 in crowdfunding from these events. And to me, this is a key to our freedom. I've been saying this for some time, that we've been given this global communication. We can decentralize. We can support what we want to support. We don't need foundations or charities or anything anymore. Or there's the guy, speaking of charities, who accidentally made $1 million by asking for beer money on his Venmo at a football game. He put a sign up saying, I need beer money. Here's my Venmo number. And he made $1 million. And he gave it to charity. God, talk about brainwashed.
Yeah.
But we're at this decentralized point where we can now be the media. We can be the, but people need to shift into this new mindset of liberty, sovereignty. And so this is a huge sovereignty test. Apathy dipstick, I used to call them back in the day with 9/11 and then false flags and seeing if people cared. And then this is a true test of sovereignty. So the moment they're opening restaurants, the moment they open the bar, people are just storming in, no masks, no social distancing, no nothing. And I don't understand what it will take to get people to just leave their homes. Maybe shutting off the TV, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, it is absolutely a sovereignty test. The mask, for example, is a sovereignty test.
Fauci said they don't work.
Right. And I mean, if anyone, that's the thing, you know, if I tend to think that human beings are hardwired naturally to have faith in God. And if you don't have faith in God, then that faith will find a place to rest. And so in our case, the majority of people that have given up any faith in God or never had it are going to put their faith in the state and in the medical community. And so they're, for example, and the reason I say this is because if you have any understanding of homeopathic medicine and naturopathic medicine and how the body works, that alone should illuminate you to the insanity of the vaccine. But even if you don't have any knowledge of that, just doing a little research into vaccines, what they are, what's in them, the science behind them, should tell anyone that it's psychotic and it's insane. And so that what they're offering now is this theoretical, psychotic, insane philosophy of injecting massive poisons into the body so that the body does what it's going to do anyways. You know, I mean, it's just doing it to trigger an immune response. That's how the body acts anyway. So it, and then for someone to accept that without even looking into the science behind it, or, I mean, that is the ultimate show of force, in my opinion, is to give this. I mean, yeah, you're offering totally experimental, toxic, and now the one they're going to roll out for COVID is a new RNA vaccine,
right,
which has never been used before. It's going to rewrite the DNA. Anyone who's at all aware should realize that we're all being experimented on. And so why on earth would you accept that if you have any respect for your body at all?
You're going to be a genetically modified being.
Yeah.
Here, let me throw another little topper on that. When you were talking about the faith in God and turning to the faith in state, I have a video. Guys, you should follow me on Twitter, okay? I'm just going to keep saying this. Please, please. And hit notifications, because I'm not giving you crap. I'm giving you knowledge that you need. So at Freeman TV on Twitter, please go follow and engage. Because a lot of what we're going to talk about today is in my Twitter feed. One video that I put up in my Twitter feed was of a DOD, Department of Defense meeting back in 2005, where scientists had developed a vaccination that will remove God.
Yes.
It will remove spirituality. It will remove any access to your spiritual side that they can test whether or not Bible quotes have an effect on you or not after taking the vaccine. That was 2005.
Yeah, and to make that like more down to earth, what they call these vaccines, they're calling them like anti-drug vaccines and stuff like that, because basically what they're doing is they're targeting the part of the brain that responds to like dopamine responses and stuff like that, which drugs will give you. But I mean, if you read between the lines, this is the same part of your, this is your conscience, basically. This is your conscience that is telling you, is giving you feedback, you know, as to the things you're doing and feeling good about things, feeling bad about things. They're talking about numbing that. This is like Brave New World stuff. And it's insane.
Yes.
I mean, someone recently brought something up to me that I thought was extremely interesting. I'm not a Bible scholar. I do love scripture. I do love the Bible. I wouldn't say I'm not fundamentalist or anything. I believe there's a lot of truth in there. I also believe there's a lot of subversion in there. But one of the questions I always wanted to ask Christians, and I never did because I didn't want to offend them, is there is a, I believe it's John, I'm going to get it wrong. It's like John 17 or John 18. It's one of the most popular Bible verses. It basically says, if you believe that Christ died for your sins, you'll be saved. And The most popular translation of that that I've heard is simply that: by putting your faith that Christ died for your sins, you'll be saved. And my question was always going to be, what the hell does that mean? Because it doesn't seem like it makes much sense to me. It seems way too easy to just say, oh, I believe in this one character and I'm fine. You know, that doesn't make any sense to me. And I never asked it because I didn't want to offend anyone. And then a friend of mine brought that up to me and we were having a discussion. And what came of it is, and this makes a lot of sense to me, and I think this is probably what it means, is, so who is Jesus? Jesus was the Son of God. Jesus was a man who is also the Son of God. And so if you believe in that, it seems to me what that means is you believe in yourself. You believe in your own sovereign soul. You believe that I am a son of God. I am a son or daughter of God. I have a sovereign, sacred, immortal soul that I have been tasked to look after for a short lifetime, which means I have a responsibility to take care of this soul. I have a responsibility to take care of this body, which means no government, no outside force should have any say in this, in the lifetime of the soul, in the lifetime of this space suit that I'm carrying around for how many years or whatever. It's up to me. I am a sovereign. It's my responsibility and I must make a stand. And that to me makes sense. That will save all of humanity. The other interesting point that this gentleman made was the last line of the Bible basically says all will be saved. So it's not saying you have to be a Christian, you have to be a Jew. It's saying everyone will be saved as eventually. All you have to do is realize who you are. You have to realize that you are a sacred soul. You are not a piece of property. You are not a pet or an animal on a farm that's subjected to whatever crazy, insane cruelty the state decides to give you, unless, of course, you choose to be that. Or in a lot of people's cases, I think, once again, going back to the atheism we see today, I think a lot of people that have no faith, that's what they think. They think that this is all just sort of a random chaos and we're just, you know, a bunch of animals and the state should be able to control us to keep things. I mean, which to me is an insane notion, because I kind of grew up, luckily, my whole life recognizing my sovereignty, as a lot of people have. But yeah, that's, and the thing is too, is we're being, so far, it seems like we're being offered this. It's not, we're not being forced into our homes. It's an offer that we're accepting. Exactly. And that's the game. The way they win isn't by forcing it on us. It's by saying, hey, would you like to come in? There's, you know, you posted something on Twitter very recently, which was perfectly timely. What was it? The Chicken Little?
Chicken Little.
Mm. And the Chicken Little
Everybody's
says it all.
You need to watch it, guys. You need to watch this. It's 5 minutes long. Don't Disney on the front lines. Okay. Disney was a propaganda arm of the military and they made military cartoons. I mean, they have anti-tank cartoons. They have save your bacon fat cartoons, you know, for the war, propaganda. Donald Duck got more people to pay their income taxes than any government campaign ever tried. And Chicken Little outlines exactly what is going on here. And I'll tell you guys, the Disney on the Front Lines is a documentary of all of these wartime propaganda films that Disney made. And they warn you at the beginning of Chicken Little, this is not for children. You really want to watch this cartoon before showing it to your children, because it's written out with psychology. It's written, I mean, they outline the plan and then all the chickens die, guys. You know, spoiler alert, the fox eats them all. And he says, well, you didn't expect a happy ending, did you? And so they're warning you, hey, don't let your children watch this until you've seen what it's about. And then they tell you, hey, this is how we're going to corral you all. And it's going to be all through your own fear. And we're going to pick adult, like to find the dumbest guy we can to lead you down this path. Now, is that Bill Gates? Is that Fauci? Or is it Trump? I don't know. But they outline this plan immediately. And you really need to go watch it. You
the
really
dumb is. Guy, I can tell you, fun. I can tell you who the idiot is. Yeah. And the idiot is simply all those people that have put their faith in the mainstream media and the mainstream narrative
And well, that's the chickens. Like Chicken Little, though, he's the one who leads the charge. The sky is falling.
That's true. Falling. Oh, that is true. That's Brian Stelter or something.
Yeah, it's whoever started
Bill
this.
Gates. Might as well be Bill Gates.
It might as well.
Yeah.
And it could even be Barack Obama, who thought he was so great he could do no wrong, and sold all of this stuff to the Chinese military. And anyway, we're not trying to point
fingers. I've seen that cartoon my whole life, and it's come up several times for different political things. But what struck me about watching it just recently when you tweeted it was the very ending, when everyone is basically coaxed into the cave, you know, and I was like, damn, you know what I mean? I mean, because it's just so crazy. The house arrest thing is just so surreal. And the most shocking thing about it is how people are policing it. People are thinking that they're doing good. They're a good person by going along with this. And the dirty looks I get at the grocery store when I go there without a mask, and all the people with masks shooting me dirty looks and stuff. It's shocking how easily people just fall in line.
It really is. But it also shows you how caring they are. You know, you can take it on both sides.
You're
but
right.
Yet you can't be stupid and care.
Right. I mean? Right. Exactly.
You could
care, I think generally people are, I mean, I'll always go back to this. Most people, I think, are very gentle, caring creatures that just want to live a decent life and be left alone.
Right.
And that's why the game is played like this. We're tricked, manipulated, and made an offer.
Well, the other thing that you brought up would be in Christianity. There's never been an attack on a religion greater than what they've been doing to Christianity. We saw that the rabbis' funeral in New York, all the rabbinical Jews were allowed to, basically congregate there in the middle of New York. The cops were all there, but they weren't, punching rabbinical Jews in the face or stomping on their heads or anything like they do to normal citizens. And even the mosques weren't shut down and things like that. But for the first time in the history of religion, Easter didn't happen.
Yeah.
And they've been going after pastors more than anyone else. And churches are held to a much higher standard than Walmart. And so there has been a major, major, major attack on Christianity specifically.
Yeah. And that's what's inspired me to speak more of my own Christianity. Like I never talked about it. I grew up at a very young age. I grew up Catholic and I hated Catholicism, but I always was close to God. I always prayed to Jesus. I always wanted to be like Jesus, but I kept it very private because to me it was a very private thing. But
Jesus
once I started
said that too.
Yeah. Yeah, he did. You're right. And I respect that. And once I started seeing the attacks, like you said, I mean, in America, nobody makes fun of Islam or the Jews because they just know that you're a bad person if you do that, but they'll all make fun of Christians. And so out of solidarity, I've been open and vocal about it. But here's what I also noticed is I'm very open because I've studied lots of different religions. I don't believe that just because you believe in one religion means you're not going to heaven or anything. Like, I don't believe any of that stuff. I think that at the root of them all, they all basically teach the same thing. However, there is one unique quality to Christianity that I cannot find in any other religion. And that is how Christianity teaches people to fight against evil and to, to expect the devil, to prepare yourself for the temptations and to overcome that. I don't see any other, like Buddhism's a great example. Buddhism basically teaches you to just be one with everything and roll with it and be accepting. If they were to have and I'm not putting down Buddhism because I do love Buddhism and I think Buddhism has a very strong place to learn a lot from, but I wouldn't be surprised if they made that somewhat of the new world order religion just because, it's all just about just accept your fate. And where Christianity, I mean, Christ was a warrior, Christ would mock and make fun of the hypocrites and, went after the bankers and the money changers and stuff. And that's what we need. That's what's going to win this battle is for people to actually not become complacent and to actually stand up and make a stand and fight for a world that's safe and that's where these good, beautiful people that we live with can actually thrive and be safe rather than being preyed upon. And so it makes sense that they want to take that down.
Yeah. All these miracles and more you will do. That's the message there. And I say, don't fight for your freedom. Just go be free until something steps in your face and then fight. Because you need to have that sovereignty in your soul. You know, all right, let's jump to Alex for a moment. Because I'm going to lead this into execute order 6666 and track and trace and all of that. But I was thinking of Alex's moment as he took the armored vehicle to the Alamo chanting communist Chinese virus and had a plane flying overhead.
Yeah.
And, I'm always been, because I've been to so many protests, you know, I was there at the WTO IMF stuff. I occupied Bill Clinton's White House for, you know, 2 weeks. I slept in his front yard with hundreds of other people and stuff. You know, I've been there, done that, all the protest things, and it didn't work. But what does work is just straight out sovereignty, straight out living your life, just doing it until you're told that you can't, and then doing it anyway. And, you know, testing the borders and boundaries of our consequences. But I found that there was something I was going to say about Alex's trip to Alamo, but instead I'm going to go here because I forgot what I was going to say. but Alex was a classic example, or the perfect example, of what will happen in the track and trace kind of scenarios of this draconian future. Because poor Alex, when he was brought up on his deposition against the Sandy Hook people, the lawyers of the Sandy Hook people created a YouTube channel for the sole purpose of putting up Alex Jones's deposition online. And they had no other videos. They made the YouTube channel the day before they uploaded the Alex Jones deposition. And then what you watch in that deposition is them pulling back sentences that Alex said 20 years ago, as if he remembers what he said 20 years ago, but everything he said is documented, listed, and can be used against him. I mean, this is a new world right there. It was a clear indication of how all of your past can be used against you now that everything's track, traced, and monitored. And Alex was the definite boiling frog or indicator species, whatever you want to say, to show how all of what you say, like we are doing here, can just come right back and haunt you 20 years later. And they have every word you said, of course, taken out of context and just used against you.
What did you
feel about that?
Well, I think that's what inspired me to work for Alex in the first place was I saw how, I mean, I've always been a fan. But after seeing how because you could see that he was being targeted as a public enemy number one, and he was about to be made the example of, and I can understand why they would do that, because not only does he, he's of someone at his level of audience, no one says everything like he does, you know, it's hard to find, people on that level of media that are talking about, you know, Bill Gates and vaccinations and, you know, culling the herd and all that stuff. And that's the important stuff. And so when I saw that, my intention was simply just to support the operation, to keep it going. And I ended up getting much more than that with being able to make the video reports I did, but really I would have been happy just, you know, sweeping the floors or whatever I could to keep it going. I don't think Alex had any idea. You know, one of the questions a lot of us ask him one-on-one is, did you have any idea you were going to be this big? Or did you have any idea you were going to be targeted as public enemy number one? And he doesn't like to talk about it much because it just sort of triggers. I mean, the man is under constant legal attack from Soros money and stuff. But, I mean, this is basically just a regular guy from Texas who started making a stand at a young age, and now he finds himself as probably one of the most hated people of amongst the brainwashed masses. And it's a little personal for me because I consider him a friend, and I really hope to see the day where he can be vindicated and get the recognition he deserves.
And that's the thing, folks. Both Greg and I know Alex personally and have for decades. So, you know, we're coming from a place where we actually know the man. And I've received a lot of heat for standing behind him on many occasions. So, and I'm like, do you know him? Do you know? I know him. I hang out with Alex. And I mean, as much as you can hang out with Alex, but, you know, he's a celebrity. So he kind of has to stay out of the, you know, because he gets mobbed wherever he goes in one way or another. But anyway, I just wanted folks to know that this is coming from two people that know the man. And I agree with you.
Yeah, and it's, I understand why the normies don't like him, because I've grown up and spent a lot of time with the normies. I kind of like that term now. And they like everything really soft and delicate, like right. NPR, and they don't like Alex because he seems, you know, high strung and stuff like that. So
I'm gonna eat your ass.
Yeah, so I can see why they don't like him. But what really gets me is how people that say they're in the truth community, and the only excuse that they give that I hear is they say things like he's a Zionist shill.
Right.
And to me, okay, so yeah, I understand people's issues with Zionism, but at this point, do you not see how much bigger the problem is? You know, I mean, to say that the problem is all centered in one country, to me, that's playing along with the game. That's yes. the whole divide and conquer. That's what they want. They would love nothing more than to have a scapegoat. You know, it seems like China is supposed to be the scapegoat for what's happening now. And you can see Conservative Incorporated really pushing for a war with China, because that goes right along with their plans, you know, make China the scapegoat. And I would even say America will probably be made the scapegoat as well for the New World Order plans.
Without a doubt, you can believe this will come back to Barack Obama eventually.
Yeah, I would even say that what we're finding out about Fauci and Barack Obama funding the Wuhan lab, that's all part of the plan too, to mm-hmm. make America fall down as a horrible government and you know, experience the fate like Germany experienced after World War II times 10.
Right, exactly.
Because they can't have a thriving New World Order with America standing on sovereignty. They just can't. They gotta destroy America.
Exactly. Without a question, that is the plan, and everybody's fighting for it. I've been actually saying this since 9/11. I'm like, hey, 9/11 was not an inside job. And the more you guys say that, the more you're going to take down your own nation. It was a globalist job. We yes. know this. It was a globalist job. Yeah, there were people on the inside here, but it wasn't an inside job. So quit pointing the finger at America. You should be pointing your finger at the globalists. So I was fighting it back then with the 9/11 truthers. And you can imagine in Texas trying to tell them, you know, yeah. quit saying it's an inside job, say it's a global job. And then you'll be honest and you won't bring down America, because what they need is the American Nuremberg trials. They need all and everybody's begging for it. They're begging for it. The Qites and the QAnon and all of that are begging for these trials. And look what happened to Nazi Germany.
Yeah.
Right? The Nazis didn't lose. They became RCA, IBM. They became all your corporations, probably producing 5G and, you know, cloning sheep and everything in Uruguay, right? Like the Nazis didn't lose. They just became the new fascism and corporatocracy, and made Wernher von Braun was on Disney. Come on, guys.
Yeah.
Like, the people in charge did not suffer. They got mansions in Argentina, and they, you know, so
it was the people that suffered. Nation, it was the German, yes. The German people are still to this day, kneecapped, castrated, you know, they're ashamed of themselves, and it's wrong. And the flip side to this, I would say one of my favorite things from Alex Jones is the phrase 1776 worldwide.
Right.
I don't know our forefathers, and I imagine a lot of them were shady globalist elitists, but through the grace of God, they gave us the First and Second Amendment. And I don't think we've ever been free, but with those tools, we could actually come closer to being free. And I think the entire world is hoping and depending, at least freedom lovers all over the world are depending on us to take back our freedom. Because if we can actually take our country back from these globalists, then I imagine the entire world will be inspired to do the same.
Exactly.
And the opposite applies too. If we fall, I mean, that strips so much hope from patriots worldwide. And we're not that sophisticated. A lot of people, you know, there's all this anti-gun stuff. We are like, you know, what we're learning now is we are just a year away from the Stone Age. It wouldn't take much to throw us back into the jungle.
One EMP. You know.
Yeah. And then the rule of law is gone. And we're in the jungle again. And so the gun, until we become like, you know, collectively spiritually enlightened beings, the gun is the greatest equalizer that we have. And, you know, I'm sorry, but we're not that sophisticated. I love the gun. And I think it was the greatest gift that our forefathers gave us. And there's going to come a time where we're going to have to use that to claim our sovereignty.
I was so shocked, amazed, and delighted when I heard President Trump telling the people of Virginia to stand up for their Second Amendment rights.
Yes. All caps. Liberty. Yes. I agree. No, there are some things coming from Trump that I haven't given up hope on Trump. You know, I don't like the vaccine talk, but that alone, because that's the thing. His job isn't to be a dictator. His job is to be a leader and allow the people to make their choice. And so that's what those tweets.
He keeps telling us,
we got to do it. Yeah. We got to do it.
You're like, go and do it. He's like, yeah, go ahead. You know, and Cuomo, he's over on the other side saying, well, you know, honestly, if you did do it, if you just went back to life, there's nothing we could actually do about it.
Right.
He said that, guys, you know?
I mean, it's almost like, and here's the thing too, is a lot of people have a lot of anger towards these people. I, for years, have thought, because I tend to see things as a spiritual battle. I tend to see this life that we're living as some sort of game. Mm-hmm. You know, we were talking about the, you know, sovereignty and claiming our sovereignty. The thing about these people, these elitists that are these globalists, first of all, I guarantee you all of us are way happier and live far more peaceful lives than any of these people. These people are total misery, total suffering, nonstop trauma. And I would even argue that they are playing a role that is extremely difficult, extremely painful, but it's part of the plan. What they're doing is because think about it, if we can actually go through this and claim our sovereignty, 1776 worldwide, we will then be existing in a golden age unlike anything we've ever seen in recorded history. That's a good thing.
Right.
And we could never get there if it wasn't for these monsters giving us an opportunity to do it. So
exactly,
we can defeat them with love. You know, there needs to be no ill feelings. We can actually defeat them with gratitude, you know?
I love you, Greg.
I love you too.
No one else on the planet would say this. And I stand right next to you in saying that very same thing. And so I'm so glad you just said that out loud.
Yeah. And I mean, it's like, I liken it to like, you know, if your house is infested with, I don't know, termites or rats or cockroaches or whatever, if you want to keep your house, you have to kill them. You don't have to kill them with hate and anger. You know, like when I kill a cockroach in my house, I try to do it with love. You know, I try to say, hey, I hope you come back as something better than a cockroach or, you know, whatever, you know, whatever. But it's just standing up and doing the right thing. And we've become so pacified and so trained into thinking that we should just remain completely passive and let other people do everything for us. That's part of the game too, to see if we can wake up out of that trance.
Yeah, it's funny because back to Alex, everybody kind of wanted him to be their martyr for them so that they didn't have to take that heat.
Yeah.
And so, all right. So before we run out of this first hour, I want to get to execute order 6666 because it seems that HR 6666, did I get all four in there, is not being covered by mainstream media. It's not being really introduced into the public. I don't know how many of my listeners have heard of HR 6666, but this is the track and trace program. And now to throw it out there, they say it's an opt-in system here in America that you download the app and then you can opt in to use it. But it turns out that the app actually is being written into the operating system of your phone. So it is not simply an app that you download. It actually is coming with the updates on your Android or iPhone. So it is embedded into the system. It's not an opt-in system. And as everybody starts to go broke in fear, they're looking for the Nazi youth. They're looking for the Gestapo. And you can make $24 an hour or $65,000 a year to join the snitch army. So as they start to make everybody broke, they're going to offer you $24 an hour to become part of the track and trace snitch army, which I think would be a very hazardous occupation in America.
Oh, absolutely. No.
So you've obviously come across HR 6666.
Yes. Yeah, I did a report on it.
This is the scariest thing is I realize if there's any real threat, it's our own brothers and sisters now. It's the people, because if we were all aware and awakened, then this whole thing would be over already. But they don't have, I mean, as far as I know, they don't really have much of an army except their loyal, brainwashed people that are going to be willing to, you know, make minimum wage or whatever it is to go snitch on their neighbors and
$24 an hour.
That's not bad. $24 an hour. And they're going to feel like they're doing something good. They're going to feel like while they're ratting out their own people and being Judas goats, they're going to feel as if they're making the world a better place. It makes you wonder how many of the big players are convinced of the same thing. I think a lot of them are. I think a lot of these people think that they're doing good work. What's interesting to me is why they use this. I mean, it's not 666, it's 6666, but still it's close enough. And then Bill Gates has a patent, or Microsoft has a patent for a cryptocurrency payment system that's connected to the human body. And that's 060606 is the patent number.
Right.
And so why are they, I mean, it's strange to me that they're using that number. It's almost like they're,
seem like they're trying to test us?
Yes. They're putting it in our face and they're saying, all right, what are you going to do now? Are you going to do anything about this or are you going to just accept it?
Now, I want to throw in real quick the Hebrew version of Satan. Now, I've studied the origins of Satan because I find it very intriguing. And the Hebrews, right, they don't have a hell. Okay, guys, there's no hell. There's no Satan that holds you down there or any of that in the Hebrew, in the Jewish belief system. What they had was a mastema, which was translated to the word Satan. But there were multiple Satans, and God would send a Satan down to mastema, literally means stumbling block. And so there's the story of Balaam and his donkey, and Balaam is trying to get to this particular place, but there God has sent a Satan to stop him because he's going in a dangerous path. And so the donkey is telling Balaam, hey, there's a Satan right there. Let's not go that way. And Balaam's saying, no, keep going. And he beats his donkey. And I mean, it's interesting that there is a talking donkey in the Bible, but that's beyond the point. The point being that these are stumbling blocks that are placed before us to then show us the wrong direction. And it's as if these guys are literally just, you know, have to announce it. It's part of their religion or something like that. You must come of your own free will and accord. And it blows my mind, Greg. It really does. Just how how much it seems they are taunting us and pushing us to be sovereign,
yes,
God-loving people.
It's as if they want that. It's as if they want the best outcome, and they're giving us that opportunity. And I think that's probably the most valuable lesson that people can learn by observing this, is that it's an offer. We're not, no one's, you know, it's an offer. And this might get more heated, you know, if they start rolling out, you know, forced vaccinations, which is a complete possibility. And that now the forced vaccinations might seem like it's not much of an option or an offer, but it is, it will be. You know, there's lots of Christians all over the country right now that are getting ready, that are saying, here it is, and you have to prepare. And basically what the offer would, what people are expecting to happen is to have some, like an exodus, perhaps, where if you refuse the vaccine, then maybe there'll be a split in the country. Who knows, maybe, you know, all the establishment loyalists can move to California or New York and get the vaccine, and everyone else. I mean, who knows? I mean, at this point, things have gotten so weird. I'm ready for the fake alien invasion. If
that's next. We're going to get into a lot of that in the second hour. I have a whole list of getting into Agenda 21, the UFOs, and 5G, but we save all that kind of good stuff for the members section so that it doesn't get yanked off of YouTube. But of course, you guys should not really be listening to this show on YouTube. I highly recommend my YouTube channel to be used for the lectures, to be used for the videos, to be used for that. But for the podcast that you're listening to right now and for the last 5 years, you don't need YouTube. It's a waste. It's so much better if you're using a podcast application to get this show. And that way, when YouTube does delete both Greg and I's channel, which doesn't seem like it's too far off in the future, you're still getting the show through Spotify, Stitcher, Android, iPhone, all of that, because I own this feed. I pay for this. I own it. I pay monthly to make sure that you guys can get this show. So I own this, right? So anytime you use Spotify or any of the other podcast apps on your iPhone or your Android, you're getting it direct. You are not, there's no one interfering in between. There's no censorship. There's no one. So the members pay for this feed and make sure that this show is free for you guys to get every week. So that's what membership does. And I'll tell you guys, my YouTube channel was demonetized 5 years ago. I was kicked off Facebook 6 years ago. So I'm way ahead of the curve in all of this getting shut down stuff. I was going down when Alex was going down, right? They came after me same time they came after him, but for some reason I never got any attention for it. Nobody's like, hey, they're coming to get Freeman, wonder what he's saying. No, everybody was like, well, why'd you quit? I didn't quit, man. They shut me down. They won't let me into my YouTube channel. And they, you know, I'm in YouTube jail. I've been kicked off Facebook 6 years ago, you know. And so you have to follow me on Twitter, because one, that's my only bastion of social networking, right? That's the only place you're going to get my thoughts and ideas daily, because I tweet often. I try not to overwhelm you, and I don't waste your time with things that you already know, like the normal tweets. I'm not there to just give you Dr. Batar and everybody else. I'm there to give you the other stories, right? Because I know that other stuff is all in your feed. So please go to Freeman TV or Twitter and hit notifications. Follow me. YouTube, use that for all of the lectures. I've got conferences upon conferences on my YouTube channel, but you need to go there and hit the playlist button. You need to go to my actual channel, hit the playlist, because I'm not allowed to upload my own videos. Okay? I never have been. So that means anything that I produce, like any film that I make, I'm not actually allowed to upload that to YouTube. So I have to link it in from other people. And on that note, please take my videos, take them all, throw them everywhere, you know, spread them like weeds all over the place. But there are 15 years. I mean, it's the longest running talk show on YouTube, guys, this one right here. But it's never been a YouTube show. It's always been either a TV show or a podcast. And it was a Google show for the longest time where I had millions and millions of followers. And then Google shut down and we all went to YouTube. But yet my numbers on YouTube show that either people are not getting my videos or they have started the migration over to podcast apps. So all of the podcast apps are listed there in my Twitter feed. They're listed on the channel on freemantv.com. And so start listening through the podcast feeds. And then use YouTube for the lectures, the videos, and all of the stuff that you need a video for because it works out so much better. And I just wanted to get that in before, because we are at the end of this first hour, and I really want you guys to be able to get this information no matter what. And let's see. Okay, I got thrown off on that. I just want to make sure that we covered what I wanted to cover in this first hour, because there's lots more to cover in the second hour. That's just going to go. I mean, we're going to get into the idea that there's a COV-19 chip, okay, a COV-19 chip on the 5G system. We got to look into that. And one unusual thing that occurred is kids are not getting their usual vaccinations right now because everybody's not allowed to go to the hospital. So we have a lot of kids right now that aren't getting vaccinated, and I'm very excited about that.
That's good news. Yeah.
Yes. And, you know, one of those side effects that they couldn't have imagined. So now all the kids that are scheduled for their vaccinations can't get them. And I'm pretty darn happy about that.
Yeah.
So, Greg, how do people find everything that you're doing?
Well, I have a YouTube channel, Greg Reese, which is my name. You'll find it with a skull and cross rifles on the icon. That channel has two strikes. I anticipate that channel being deleted any times. But you can also find me at band.video. which is the InfoWars video site. I have my own channel there. And as long as they don't take InfoWars down, then that channel will exist.
Nice.
You can also find me on Twitter and Facebook, but, you know, by searching my name. And but I do hope that when we win this someday, that we will no longer be haunted by social media in our lives.
Oh, I know. I know.
they're necessary now for the information war, but I think our lives would all be much better without them.
I can't deny how much my heart sinks when I see someone tweet, "Check out my breakfast," which literally happened 2 days ago, and they've got hundreds of responses. And then I tweet, "Here's the mysteries of the universe and everything that you need to possibly know," and I get 10 likes and no retweets, you know. Yeah. It's like, oh my God, seriously? Like I'm battling an uphill battle here trying to get this information out. And I don't know if it's the algorithms. I don't know if my listeners don't like Twitter. I don't know why. I assume it's massive shadow banning and people.
It has to be.
Yeah. If you're not in the feed, you don't exist. That's pretty much the way it is.
Yeah.
So, well, guys, everybody now is patient zero. You would use a track and trace program at the beginning of a pandemic to find patient zero. But now they want to implement the idea that we're all patient zero, that even if you're not showing any signs or symptoms, you need to be tracked and traced. This has been the plan all along. And for some reason, be it Trump coming in and messing up their plans, asteroids coming in from planet Earth, or extraterrestrials coming to change everything, something forced them to show their hand. We had witnessed all of this coming down the pipe as the fires hit Amazon, the Amazon River, fires hit California, fires hit Australia, and immediately we were all saying, okay, they're moving us into our human habitat zones. You know, they need everybody out of California. That's why they're making life hell there. They need you to leave. They need you gone because they are building non-human habitat zones for life. And they're going to hit us with all the propaganda of how, look how great the planet has gotten since all of you are locked in your homes. So look at the world without people. And that will be the next campaign. We all know this. I mean, Limits to Growth was a book written by the Club of Rome back in the, I don't even know. I read it in the 90s for college. And it explained how we had to limit the population, right? Limits to growth. And it was all statistical data, just like what they were using for COVID, right? Oh, yeah, 2 million dead. So the statistics don't work. And on top of this, with social distancing and all of us keeping 10 feet apart or whatever, synchronicities are the true key to our solution here. The bonding of this human soul that they are trying very hard to eradicate using vaccinations. That is really, in my opinion, the solution, because a supercomputer cannot track random, chaotic, synchronistic events. It knows what you will do. They have supercomputers that know your every step before you even thought of it. But if you're running on a spiritual plane with God in your soul and you're being guided by synchronicities through connections with other humans, there's not a supercomputer on the planet that can defeat that. So that is where we are being pushed to. And as Greg and I have been saying here, it really seems like they really want you to do it. And I really want you to do it. I want you guys just to go back to life. And as we restart this new reset, the new normal, let's make it ours. It's up to us. It's not up to anyone else. And so it's our moment, right? This is our moment. And something, you know, something as maybe as wonderful as Trump forced their hand. And now we have this opportunity. So please, guys, take it. Greg, you ready for another hour of this?
Yeah.
Man, so much more to cover, guys. As the story gets so much deeper, and we're going to take this much farther. But we can always do that in the members section, because it's free and hidden and only... You know, we don't have to worry about it. So anyway, if you're not yet a member, come on over to freemantv.com and subscribe for a month. Check it out. You'll love it. Everybody stays. It's well worth it. And it's the only thing that is keeping this show on the air. And that is critical right now, as I watch every channel that I follow get demonetized and shut down. And as our YouTubes are being taken down, this is the one way, and the only way you're going to keep getting this show and Greg's show is by these websites being supported, by you going to the websites instead of using these outside sources. Just come direct, right? And you don't even have to once you've got the RSS feed. But anyway, I hope you will come and join and help support this movement, help support us find our ways out of this. And we're going to continue talking through it all until we get to the other side, because we will get there. So thank you all so much. And I'll see most of you next week. Members, let's jump on it.